Ladies, gentlemen, geeks of all ages, you are now entering BJ Shea's Geek Nation. Welcome.
Yes, welcome to BJ Shea's Geek Nation. I am the Reverend Enfuego. Across from me is Vicky Barcelona.
Hello.
We've got the show's namesake, BJ Shea. Nope, I'm a liar. He's on assignment. But that also means that we still got running the boards, Mr. Joey D.
Hello.
On today's show, we will talk about the closing of an institution in the Seattle area in comic books. Vicky will give us some comic book reviews. We got all that more. And of course, the Geek Sheet with Vicky B. Vicky, how can people get a hold of us?
They can get a hold of us via our website, bjgeeknation.com, because it's going to have our blogs, podcasts, and that more. Or just search for BJ Shea's Geek Nation on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, radio.com, app, and iTunes to find us.
Exactly. Plenty of ways to get a hold of us. Give us some five-star reviews and different ways to go ahead and help us out on that aspect. And if you give us a five-star review, maybe I'll be able to send you a completely random comic book. Give us a little bit of visual proof on that and send me an email, either bjgeeknation@gmail.com or hit us up on all of our social media and all of that stuff. Really, it's pretty easy to get a hold of us, and we do appreciate the feedback. Even when we ask for like emails on anything along the lines of the dumb things we talk about, we love to hear the feedback from the Geek Nationals. One of the Geek Nationals that we had on was Scott from Comics Dungeon, and giving us just the things that excited him and were really interesting coming out every week. And you may not have heard from Scott in the last couple of months. Due to the pandemic, it has really been it's just been a brutal toll on a lot of places. Restaurants, some of them are just not going to be coming back. And a lot of small businesses are feeling that when you need to have physical interaction and you need stuff to be shipped to you and all that stuff is just going away. And it's slowly coming back, but for a lot of stores, they are going they're just going away.
Yeah.
Comics Dungeon made a post, and this was last week. They said after 28 years, the time for Comics Dungeon, and 39 plus years for Corner Comics, it's time for both to close. We are also grateful to each person that we have met over the years. The 15 years that Lainey and I have owned the stores have been amazing. The foundations that Marv and Steve put in at the Dungeon and Ron and Paige at the Corner truly shaped businesses that were reflections of the communities they were built in. We are proud of the changes both stores have made over the years, becoming businesses that welcome diversity, inclusion, and created an atmosphere for families and kids. We are proud that over the last 3 years, we've been able to help local schools creating willing readers at all levels and embrace comics as a medium for education. None of this would have been made possible without your support. However, changes in the business climate in our area, major shifts in the comic industry, plus the devastating impact of COVID-19 have put too much stress and costs on the stores. We've been working hard to put this off, and we appreciate all the support we have received over the past few months. We will never forget the support we received from the GoFundMe that so many of you participated in, as well as made the landing for our staff that much softer. We apologize for the sudden nature of this, but please bear with us as the events have been hitting hard and fast. Their last day will be June 18th. So we're about a month, July 18th. So they're about a month away when it comes down to all that. They're going to be fulfilling all of their other orders and all of that stuff. And they're also going to be moving on in terms of like other customers that they have going to different comic book stores and being able to do that. They're still thinking about everyone in their community. They had an amazingly long run, but it's still sad to see friends and comic book nerds, and especially comic book stores, going to the wayside.
Yeah, I mean, that's these times right now. It's so tough.
Mm-hmm. And like people were looking to help them out, and it just eventually just ended up not being enough. And as it hurts. And it's very sad, but just remember all the good times that you've had going to those stores and your local comic book store. Despite how much you've wanted to be able to help them out, maybe it just wasn't something that was able to happen, and it may go away. But just remember that, like, when the next comic book store comes around, because we're living in an age where plenty of retail's out there, we're still in a capitalistic society, where support them. Make sure, if you get a pull box, pay for the stuff, right? Just simple things like that. And, I mean, it's been a long time. I wish Scott all the best, and I'm sure we'll be able to still talk comics with him, maybe just more on a person-to-person level and not so much a podcast level.
Yeah, much love to all those guys. Super awesome store. Like, loved everyone. That was my main store when I lived in Seattle. And it was awesome because it was, like, right down the street from Dick's Burgers. So I would treat myself.
Comics and burgers.
Spend so much money on comics and then burgers.
That's perfect.
But a lot of love for everyone there.
And, I mean, you've actually, you've still be reading comics right now.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's, you won't be able to pick them up at Comics Dungeon, but you've been going along the adventures of X-23 now, haven't you?
Yeah, so I buy comics, like, every now and then. I'm like, ooh, I finished this payment, you know, I'm done with this bill, so I'm going to splurge and buy a bunch of comics and then not read them for a couple of months. They just sit on my nightstand because I have to be in that right mood. I don't want to get distracted. I don't want anybody to talk to me. I want, you know, it to be the perfect day to read comics. And so yesterday I finally got that moment where I had done enough chores to feel comfortable enough to sit down and let myself relax. And so I finally read the first two issues, which I think are the only issues as of right now, of the new X-23 series. The first volume is a family album, and the second one being X-Assassin. So basically, this is like kind of the continuation of the Wolverine story.
Okay.
So the way the Wolverine left off, it was kind of a jump into the future. So you can kind of see what happens with her.
Okay.
But this is obviously not a continuation from that point, because I'm not going to spoil it. But, you know, there's not much of a story after that. At least not with her.
Okay.
So this kind of returns back to present day. She is now hanging out with Gabby, who we met in the Wolverine. She, or the all-new Wolverine, I should say. Gabby turns out to be a clone of her.
Whoa.
So they tried cloning X-23, and they did multiple times, and they had a whole batch of them, and they all were sisters and were all assassins. The only problem was they didn't feel pain, which was awesome. But they didn't have healing factors.
Oh.
But they were still perfect assassins.
Okay, so they're disposable assassins, really, at that point in time.
Funny you say that. Anywho. They all revolt, and they start fighting against them in X-23. They want to kill her. At the end, one way or another, they all end up dying in the all-new Wolverine series, except Gabby, who turns out don't have bone claws.
Oh.
Gabby apparently ends up having bone claws and a healing factor, because Wolverine is dead, and in the old series, like in the Wolverine series where X-23 takes up the mantle, he comes back in time, they save him, and
sure,
he ends up, I know, they bring him back, back in time or something, and he's like, I know what happens, and so he tries to kill Gabby, and that's when they realize, oh wait, you can't kill her, because she's got a healing factor, and she doesn't feel pain.
Wow.
But she is X-23's little sister at this point. She's like 13, 14 years old, while X-23 is probably in her 20s. It is really cute. She ends up going by the Honey Badger.
Oh, jeez.
Yes.
I was like, so she's actually, so she doesn't give an F, does she?
No, she does not. She's this little girl. It's so funny. She totally loves it.
And the Honey Badger.
Oh, my God. That's basically what it is. Although, in the new series, what is going on in this storyline is that they're trying to stop what happened to them to happen to anybody else.
That's a noble thing to do.
Right. So they're trying to find anybody that has Wolverine's X gene or X-23's X gene and stop them. Anybody that's trying to do any kind of cloning process.
Yeah.
That is their journey. That is what X-23 has set out to do, along with her sister Gabby. And she ends up, at least in the first series, fighting somebody that's not typically a bad guy. And by a bad guy, I mean bad guys.
Oh, multiple men?
Multiple women.
Whoa, what?
The Cuckoos.
The Cuckoos? I don't remember them.
Do you not know the Cuckoos?
No.
I forget their full name, but the Marvel Cuckoos, it was five. They were five clones of Emma Frost. They're all telepathic psychics and everything. They also appeared in that the live action show. I'm totally blanking. Gifted.
Oh, yeah.
The Stepford Cuckoos. That's
the full name. Yeah, I just looked up and it says Stepford Cuckoos. Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I actually remember reading the original series, because now there is three. And in one of the original comics back in the day, the first cuckoo passes away. I believe it was Sophie. She dies with an accident with Cerebro. So now there's only three in canon.
Wow, yeah.
But apparently they've been playing with the whole cloning process to see if they can get their sisters back, because their sisters still have like a weird psychic connection. So Sophie and Esme, the two that died, are still kind of around. They try to put them in these bodies, but because they can't get the cloning process just right, they're aging way too fast. So they're these like old ladies.
Oh, weird.
So what they decide, because one of the cuckoos was always more power hungry and fame hungry than the rest.
Okay.
Even though they seem like they're the exact same, they think the same way, they dress the same, they're not. Esme has always been kind of a bitch. So they end up they kidnap Gabby and in a way get X-23 involved so they can use their bodies so they could live on forever. But luckily Sophie, the other cuckoo that is dead but kind of brought back, is there to help. She's like, we're not going to let this happen. And they had to put a stop to the cuckoos.
Wow.
And the cuckoos knew, it's like, if we do this, we are blacklisted. We are no longer good guys. But they so badly wanted to be sisters. And that was kind of the whole theme, too, with X-23. Like, Gabby's like, I don't have an actual birthday. When is your birthday? And it's like, oh, I don't know. It's like, I know the day I was quote-unquote made or born. She's like, well, let's have a birthday. Let's do this. And it's so cute to see X-23... She obviously didn't grow up with a normal childhood. So all these things, mm-hmm. like even fighting with a sister is so different to her, because she's used to just fighting, like actual fighting,
yeah.
And killing, or just even not saying anything. She's used to just being quiet, but now she actually has to communicate what's going on, how she's feeling with somebody that went through the same thing as she is, but she's also taken care of. I love seeing the dynamic between sisters.
Yeah.
And in the second one, you know how I said there's a bunch of people trying to do, you know, new X-23s and more clones. They're using that X gene to make X assassins. They do end up creating, the guys that created Gabby create a whole new system of cybernetic X-23s, basically.
Whoa.
And they are disposable.
Oh, yeah.
They are on purpose. That way, they complete their mission, they're done. They're very much like the Mr. Meeseeks.
Yes.
If you know that. That is basically what they're there. But Gabby has this sense of connection with them, and X-23 is like, not all of them that have our genes are our sisters, okay?
Yeah.
We've seen enough of our sister's eye. Just because she's a machine slash has a little bit of our genetic code and broken DNA doesn't mean she's our sister. And Gabby's like, nope. Connection, and she's
best friends forever.
She's able to connect with all of them, even creates a nickname out of like the anagram or whatever the letters of what this robot is, and spelt backward is it's Scout.
Oh,
like spelt weird. And so she decides to now honor her, because she obviously didn't make it.
Yeah.
And now instead of Honey Badger, she goes by Scout.
Oh, Honey Badger though.
But the thing that's also funny is that the one thing they fight about, it's like, we have to save everybody with our gene. We can't let anybody just go.
Yeah, but that's such a monumental task.
Including X-23 turkeys.
What? This isn't some weird like Howard the Duck thing you're trying to spring on me here, is it?
No, it was a part of a experimentation they were doing. It just happened to be on a bunch of turkeys.
They
but
were
Gabby,
splicing it in there with turkeys.
Right, and so they were fighting in this warehouse, and Gabby smells it, and X-23 tries to ignore it, and so she's like, I'm going after him. She goes after this train, and then she gets in and she realizes what's in here. She's like, wow. I smell us.
Murder turkeys.
And they were these turkeys. And so they try to stop the train. The train goes into self-destruct mode.
Oh, geez.
Gabby's like, no, they're going to die. Apparently, they're flame retardant and can fly.
You can't even cook the turkeys and no, they can fly.
No, so they end up
fighting. We don't need overpowered turkeys like this. We don't need this.
No, so they ended up taking them to a vegan, like actual kind of like farm for like X-type mutant animals. But that's when they have to sit down, and as sisters, it's like, look, I never asked you if you wanted to go on this mission to stop all these bad guys from doing this to other people, but I have to see what you want to do. And Gabby's like, we need to save everyone that is like us.
Save the turkeys.
Including the turkeys.
I'm just thinking of like, yeah, Colonel Sanders' home for gifted fowl. Like, yes. It's just going to be...
It's like, just picture a cute like alien farm. It was really adorable scene. Their dynamic is a lot of fun. I think you'd really love Gabby. She's X-23, but tinier and funnier.
I think I might have to borrow that book from you.
Yeah, I mean, you could start with the Wolverine.
Yeah.
Or the all-new Wolverine, and then you can go into the new X-23 series.
Oh, that's fun. Anything else you've been reading?
Yes, I actually finally caught up with The Runaways by Rainbow Rowell. I can't say her last name. but I had volume three seasons. Huh, Shows how much TV I watch. Volume 3 and Volume 4. Volume 3 being That Was Yesterday.
Wow.
So, how much do you guys know about Runaways? You didn't watch the series, right?
Nope. I don't know much other than, and I guess this is kind of a major spoiler, about their lineage.
Yes.
Like, so, like, if you don't know anything about it, I'm not going to say anything right now.
Well, but I kind of have to spoil it in order to tell you what it is.
Okay, well, spoiler alert, everyone.
If you haven't seen the show
or read the books, then, just fast forward about 10 minutes.
Yes. So, basically, in this world, in like volume one, episode one, volume one, Chase has finally found a way to go back in time and save Gertrude. Gertrude, in like the original comics that came out years and years ago before they went on hiatus, passes away, and that was his girlfriend. And it was always like the couple you weren't expecting, because he was that dumb jock and she was, you know, kind of the curvier activist with purple hair back before purple hair was cool. But, you know, 2 years have passed and he was completely in love with her, and he ended up, his parents were mad scientists, and it was always funny because, like, why did we have the dumb kid? But he's actually really smart. He's just, you know, had to deal with, you know, an abusive father.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been working nonstop for like 2 years trying to find a way to go back in time and save her. And he finally does. He manages to bring her back into this time. Unfortunately, she is now 16 still, and he is now 20.
Awkward.
Yeah. Oof. So it's a very hard thing. Like, hey, the last thing you remembered was getting stabbed. And then all of a sudden, you're better because you got some magic that helped you get healed. And all your friends' lives are completely different. They're older. The one that was like, you know, the little 10-year-old Molly is now 13.
That's gonna be weird.
Her whole world has kind of been turned upside down. She's walking around, everyone has purple hair, so she ends up dyeing her hair back. She's like, this is how different everything is. The problem being, with volume three, they're all kind of getting used to things. A ghost from their past returns, which is Alex. So originally it was 6 runaways.
Okay.
They all ran away from their parents. The whole idea was the parents were sacrificing souls once a year to these gods called the Gaborim. The Gaborim would eat these souls, and they said, after, we will give you wealth and everything you want for, like, I want to say 30 years or something like that.
It's kind of how you want to do it, right?
Right. And at the very end, we are going to consume the entire earth, like all the souls on earth.
Whoa.
And the earth is going to be ours to do whatever we want.
Yikes.
Except we are going to allow 6 of the 12, you know, adults to live. So they had to really, when the first one, which would be Chase's mom and dad, when they came out pregnant, they all decided they will each have one child, and those 6 children would be the ones to survive.
Which, it makes sense, and in kind of an evil, altruistic way.
Right. So these parents were very self-serving, and they still loved their kids, but it was still self-serving. The problem was that Alex, who was the leader of the group, ends up being a betrayer. He wanted to help save his family. He was in love with one of the characters, Nico, and he's like, I'll have your parents saved and my parents saved, and we'll do this together, and everyone else can die. And they're like, no, we're not going to feed a soul to the good war. I'm like, we're stopping this. We're not going to be killers like our parents. And so he ends up dying by the hands of the Gaborim. Because the soul ended up, Molly's like, why would you do this? Why would you kidnap these souls? And she ends up breaking it because she's got superhuman strength.
Makes sense.
And so he's like, oh, it's my fault. Don't worry. You know, mighty Gaborim. They're like, dead.
Wow.
We're
going
to kill you. But somehow he is now back from basically hell.
Yeah,
because they never stay dead.
It's comic books, man.
He is still technically dead. Like, when you touch him, you feel death. Like, you feel like you're touching somebody that's dead.
Yikes.
But he's still up and at him, which he did appear in other comics, but I haven't read those, so I don't know
don't
how
know, like, the storyline or anything like that, yeah.
But he's back. They all hate him. They're like, you were going to kill us. He's like, no, I wasn't. I was just being a good leader. It's like, okay, dude.
No, I wasn't. I was going to be a good leader by killing us.
I need
but
to
I
save
was
my
going
parents.
To be a good leader.
So he's trying to find a way, you know, to save them again, because the Gaborim are kind of back. Even though they died along with their parents, their kids didn't. The Gaborim had kids. They're basically teenagers or like young adults. And they're like, well, it is our turn. We are going to inherit this earth because that is our birthright. So you need to get us some souls because we're hungry. And you basically have to start the pride over again So otherwise, we're going to find somebody else to do it. We're going to kill you and find somebody else. And even though they're not as strong and powerful as they would have been had the ritual been completed.
Yeah, I mean, they're still
demigods.
Yeah.
You can't go up against demigods.
Not really.
So they end up, they're like, we'll give you until seven, you know, sunrises, and we'll come back and see what your decision is. They leave behind one of, there's three of them, Gibbs, and they have their younger brother, one of the Gibborns, just sit there and watch them.
They leave the younger brother.
I'm guessing he's the younger one, but they call him Gibb. And he's sitting there stoic, just quiet, and just observing them.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, we're going to die in 7 days, basically. And nobody wants to team up with Alex. Alex has all these ideas. We can do this, this, and this, but they don't want to listen because he's a jerk. He tried to kill us. So in volume three, they basically have to decide, do we turn into our parents? They found a way, maybe if we sacrifice Gibb, if we can kill one of the gods, we can sacrifice that spirit and overtake them. And at the very end, Gibb sees their humanity. And he's like, we can't kill them. Like, maybe our parents were wrong.
Oh, no.
And it all kind of, I think it was because he ended up getting socks, because in this week, Christmas time happened. And so they
ended up. Did you just say socks?
Yes. Nico used a magic spell, Merry Christmas, and decorated the entire house.
The world is saved by magic socks?
No, like everyone got socks for Christmas. And so, like, I think he was seeing that he was a part of this group.
He was a part, yeah.
Humanity, they're seeing it as like humanity are just like random animals that, you know, like you can dispose of. Like, oh, these, we can do whatever we want because we're superior to you.
Aww.
But he's saying, no, they actually have actual souls, not just souls for eating, but they have humanity.
Not just tasty souls, actual souls.
But they actually have to fight him. How do they fight him? Well, they really can't. So Gert, even though she was kind of a time traveler and she found her mom and dad's old time traveling machine, they were considering having her fly into the future and just getting the hell away from this. Oh. Or even in the past. So she decides to sacrifice her time machine and push them into the future like 1,000 years.
Oh, geez.
It's like, I don't know what's there. I can't get to them. Like, it's just in the future. There might not even, our human race might not even survive that long. So enjoy.
Yeah. Here's your space. Bye.
But unfortunately, they left poor Gibb behind. And he's like, but that was my family. That was.
But you're our family now.
But he hungers. Gibb's hungers. And nothing is really soothing them. And he's never eaten before. So they're trying to teach him how to eat. And the only way he will have sustenance is that if his food has been sacrificed, if you will. So they're trying everything.
I sacrificed this mac and cheese.
Oh, no.
It's like, oh, Gertrude, would you like this hamburger with extra pickles? She's like, I would love it. And this is my favorite. But I want Gibbs to have it. I'm going to sacrifice it, even though I want it.
So everything is just a theatrical performance at that point.
It didn't work. He's like, I'm still, that did nothing. And
damn.
So they're trying to find a way. Like, should we sacrifice a cow? Does a cow have a soul? Like, it gets all silly in that episode. Episode 4, Runaways, Volume 4, But You Can't Hide. Runaways, But You Can't Hide. I like that. You kind of learn a little bit more about, like, Molly's actually really missing her family, but she feels like she can't connect, so she runs away. With Alex, they kind of go back. They're trying to, like, repair everything. Broken hearts. Gertrude may not be in love with Chase because he's 20 years old now. And she may have found love somewhere else in a robotic form.
Whoa.
With their old friend, Victor. Whom she never got to meet, actually, because she died before they met him.
Oh, see, look at that. New budding love and a strange and love triangle.
And it's weird. They discuss that, too. It's like, he's 20. He's like, it's like saying that he's going to wait for her sounds kind of gross, but it's like he's just misses his girlfriend from when he was younger, like 18 and 16.
Yeah.
So it's a really good series, really well written. There's even one issue in the volume three where it's Old Lace is the... this velociraptor that is telepathically connected to Gertrude and Chase.
Okay.
And so the whole issue is her running around the whole mansion they live in.
That's funny.
And it's just, she doesn't understand what anybody's saying except certain words like Old Lace or Chase or Good Girl. And everything else is kind of like, do you remember Woodstock when he would talk?
Yeah, like the little squiggles and
stuff. That's what it is. And so it was a really cute little...
Kind of one-off,
that kind of still fit. Like, it was still part of the storyline. Rainbow is doing a fantastic job writing this, and I really hope that's her real name.
I love it. Thank you so much, Vicky. And stick around, because now it's time for...
The Geek Sheet with Vicky B.
Vicky, what's going on?
I feel like a few episodes ago, we talked about different characters that Margot Robbie could play in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, I do remember that.
And I know we always have that discussion when they shouldn't be overlapping, don't be doing multiple superheroes. I think in my head, As long as it's two different universes, it's totally fine.
Yeah, and I really kind of hope it won't be the same Marvel property. But to be perfectly honest, when they Johnny Storm, Chris Evans, was also Captain America.
We forgot about Johnny Storm.
I was fine with it.
Yeah, that was not a great movie.
Nope.
But we got an article here from cinemablend.com. And this writer writes, six DC characters, Vin Diesel would be perfect to play.
Oh, okay. DC Diesel. Okay. Let me see if I can. I'm just trying
Pick
to think
some.
Of
There's
like.
Six of them.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think in terms of like. Like Darkseid would be probably one of them.
Actually, not on this list.
What? And if you don't know who Darkseid is, he's essentially like Thanos and Apocalypse kind of rolled into one. He's the big cosmic bad. And I'm really, really just basing that on the fact that they're bald.
The one that's kind of weird-looking bald character that's made me think of that, Metamorpho.
Metamorpho? I'm not
sure.
So,
apparently, they start off this by saying that Vin Diesel and Dwayne Johnson have a history of not getting along with each other very well, but they might have to cross paths if Diesel were to join the DC Universe, considering he will be, you know, Johnson's been preparing to play Shazam's villain, Black Adam, for years now. But what if he gets to play Metamorpho?
Wow, he was a man made of shifting mass of chemicals after being cursed by an ancient artifact.
Yep, Metamorpho of ancient times, Ankh-Tong, was Egyptian royalty who used his shape-shifting abilities to ravage Black Adam's kingdom. So killing his family and inciting their sworn opposition to each other. So they hate each other.
And it kind of reminds me a little bit of Sandman.
Okay.
In the Marvel, especially with like Spider-Man and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I could see him doing that. I'd be fine with that.
Okay, so there is a few villains on here,
mm-hmm.
but there's also a few good guys.
All right.
What do you guys think? There's two good guys. When one good guy, it's, you know, he's good, but he does.
Anti-hero?
He's kind of a jerk, but
Who's
that's
that?
Not his fault. Dr. Manhattan.
Ooh.
No.
He's too old.
And I'll be perfectly honest. His characters aren't. He plays kind of dumb characters.
He plays the same character every time.
Yeah, and it's the
aside from Groot,
like the infinitely intelligent. The infinite intelligence of Dr. Manhattan, and kind of that just even like boredness of him. Mm-hmm. And just that casual, like, yeah, whatever, I'll do this sort of thing. That doesn't play for Vin Diesel for me as an action hero. Because
yeah.
You see stuff that he's done, Fast and Furious, Chronicles of Riddick, XXX. These are the ones are the movies that I've seen. So I haven't seen him do anything that is even like
the
a character
pacifier.
Like that.
Yeah, I don't know who he could possibly play. Because he is kind of like that bad boy, breaks the rules hero. But he can't play like The Flash.
But he's also an actor.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. So I'm just like, I'm sure he could probably act these roles, but I'm just not visually, it's not, nothing is like even like cinching there for me.
Because the first thing that came to mind was a villain. It would be Lex Luthor. He could play that character.
Okay.
I was thinking about that too. But maybe. Maybe.
Like, I think he could pull off an intelligent Lex Luthor that was maybe a little bit more on the gangster side, where, like, he's
more of
a
mafia type.
Almost like more of a, even like Kingpin. Like, Kingpin is a massive, imposing character, but he's also a brilliant, like, crime mastermind. But also, you can't go toe-to-toe with him, because he'll also just whoop your ass.
Exactly.
This one, the only other good guy on this list, I don't hate.
All right.
Martian Manhunter.
Yes.
I think he has the voice. I feel like he has enough. So Vin Diesel doesn't have a face like with complexity, if you will, when he's acting. So I feel like Martian Manhunter has a fairly straight face, not as much as Dr. Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like he'd be able to play that kind of just very straightforward delivery.
Mm-hmm.
That confusion.
Yeah.
They're not so, you know,
because
he's not from this world, but he is a strong character.
And you know what? I would, yeah, that would be a great one, because also like it's one of those things also being otherworldly.
Mm-hmm.
You're not like whatever you think is just and right is mm-hmm. not going to be the same as whatever it is. So you get that kind of like different philosophy sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And with his strength and the look on all of that, yeah, that actually, yeah, I'm way more okay with than any of the other ones so far.
Thoughts, Joe?
Yeah, you know, Martian Manhunter, is he green?
Yes.
Okay, he is green.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so the problem is in my head when I see all these characters, they're really tall.
Mm-hmm.
And Ben Diesel's not very tall.
Okay, that's kind of what I was thinking
CG
that too.
They can CG all of those different things,
right.
though.
Yeah, but Tom Cruise isn't that tall, and he always looks a lot taller when he's beating people up. So
well,
I guess, you know,
to be fair, to be fair,
to be fair,
a lot of these actors are actually really teeny tiny, and
yeah.
they look much taller on screen. Like all actors are fairly short. Actors and models are very different because of height difference.
Yeah, and if I see him like being the I am Groot stoicness of that kind of character,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that's kind of the Martian Manhunter, so I could see it.
Yep.
Yeah, I think a man of few words kind of
yeah.
gets
yeah.
like gets that there.
I don't think he should ever, like if he was Martian Manhunter, I would not want to see him in his like own movie. I would love to see him in an ensemble cast.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. yeah.
Another one on this list is Dead Man, which I'm not familiar with.
Dead Man? DC has the worst names for their guys. Come on.
Super glue
so
man.
It's the former trapeze artist adopted the apt crime fighter alias Deadman after his murdered spirit was given the ability to possess the living.
Whoa.
Which has come in handy while fighting things that go bump in the night as a founding member of the Justice League Dark. So this is actually a good guy. I thought he was a bad guy.
Yeah, you know, yeah. And it's funny because he's got a big D on his chest.
Okay.
Well, it just reminds me of Daredevil's where I was going with that. But he's like undead Daredevil. So, I mean, Deadman isn't the worst name ever. It's kind of a
really?
Crappy so, name.
As
though.
A good guy? Might be one of the worst hero names I've ever heard.
He just went from Martian Manhunter actually, to Deadman, so
and,
I don't know, man.
Reading this, it's Deadman's nobility, friendliness, and heroic sense of responsibility are all traits that would be refreshing to see Diesel play in live action.
Oh, I just realized who I want him to play.
Oh, who?
Bizarro.
Oh.
So it's Bizarro Superman. I think that even like some sort of like fractured speech and going back and forth with that, I think that would be even
okay.
better. Yeah, that's what I'm into.
I don't hate that. The two last ones on the list, I don't like this one. Lobo.
I think Lobo's just a dumb character. He's the Deadpool, essentially, of the DC universe.
That looks like Jason Momoa.
And you saw him in...
Krypton.
Yeah,
I was about to say, he was the best part about that show, too.
Yeah, I didn't hear good things about that show.
Oh, well, you know, when you leave the cliffhanger with no one can defeat... Was it Apocalypse?
Yeah.
Is it Apocalypse?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then... You defeat him.
No one can defeat you. Wait,
hey,
who just defeated him? What
how
the hell?
Yes. And you have a time traveler who gives his time traveling device to anyone he wants to.
Well, I mean,
including the bad guys. Whoops.
Oh, yeah. That's not a good thing.
If Momoa wasn't already Aquaman, I would totally see him as Lobo.
Yep. It'd be funny if they just. How about they just have Justice League of Momoa and everybody is played by Jason Momoa? And then all the bad guys can be Vin Diesel.
I dig this.
And then it would just be Momoa versus. I don't know.
Okay, well, last one on it, it's Bane.
Bane! Well, if he wears a mask, I mean, but it doesn't matter. It he's big, beefy. Yeah, and
I feel like it may not work if, like, for example, the new The Batman movie.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I feel like he's too old.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he'd be closer to age with Batman and Robert Pattinson's, I think, in his 30s.
Oh, my god.
He's about my age.
That's, I forgot.
Yeah.
I could see him as Bane Pattinson. And it would be fine. But again, to your point, there are younger actors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's
start fresh. And if this actually works out, we want to see them on screen for a while.
And that's the big thing, too,
yeah.
as well. It's like, how many years are you going to have these characters? So you want to make sure that it's going to be a character that he will do very well. And
for a while.
And either for a while or just not have to do it more than just once or twice and maybe get wiped out in excellent ways.
Well, let us know what you guys think. Who should Vin Diesel play in the DC universe? And until next time, stay nerdy.